just give it up. No, give it to him. Let's talk about it on this edition of Sea Life.
Hello, this is Wayne Kelly, and that was Steve Brown. Life isn't a dress rehearsal, and that's why this program, Sea Life, is around. Honest, practical, and street-smart Bible teaching for the business of living.
Thanks, Mike. If you have your Bible, keep it open there, because I'm going to be referring to the Scripture as we go along. We're not doing a verse-by-verse study, but we're doing a subject study, talking about pain and suffering and broken ropes, and what do you do when you do that? And we're talking about God's means of grace when you go through it. Means of grace meaning how God helps us get through and persevere in the difficult times of our life. We talked about honest prayer. Don't ever lie to God. Talked about honest fellowship. You need some brothers and sisters with whom you can be totally honest when it hurts, when you sin, when you're going through a hard time. Talked about honest Bible study. Don't make the Bible a religious book. If you make it too religious, you'll miss it. The Bible is quite honest and earthy, and it'll help you when you're going through a difficult time. And then we've been talking, we talked yesterday about honest action, doing what needs to be done. We took some time looking at Elijah, one of my favorite texts in the Bible from 1 Kings, where Elijah is just having this pity party and he wants to die. He sounds just this poor worm. This is just awful. I did the right thing and it didn't work out. And then the angel comes and says, get up, eat something, get moving. And that's good advice when you're going through a difficult time. I said yesterday, when you place your hand on a hot stove, your hand doesn't hurt because you haven't prayed enough, or been spiritual enough, or didn't go to church, or read your Bible, your hand hurts because it's on a hot stove. So don't pray. Just take your hand off the hot stove. If you've lost your job, get busy, look for another one. If you're going through a hard time, get moving. If you've lost a loved one, that's awful. You ought to mourn, and you ought to cry, and you ought to just go through it. It's hard. I've been there so many times. But then you got to say, I got to clean up, and I got to get up. And I got to get moving. Amazingly, the remedy sometimes for our pain and suffering is often a pep talk. When I was a young pastor, I spent most of my counseling time sympathizing with people who were going through hard times. Because I had been through very many hard times. And I'd say, oh, you poor dear. And I'd say, here's a Kleenex. I'll take one. We'll cry together. Now, there's nothing wrong with sympathy. I think we should show that to each other. Because we're all human, we're all going through a tough time. But there's a lot wrong with too much sympathy. Too much sympathy can debilitate a Christian. Sometimes I'll say to people now that I'm old and wise, as it was said to me when my rope was broken and I was going through a tough time, and I was looking for sympathy, all right, now it's time to grow up. This doesn't sound very pastoral, but it needs to be said. We need to say it to each other sometimes. You know what has happened? You know why it's happened. You've had your pity party. Now grow up. What are you going to do about it now? Sometimes these words are greeted with anger. Sometimes a person will say, Steve, you don't understand what I'm going through. And I often acknowledge that I don't. But you're going through it, I'll say. And since you are, you've got to do something about it. What are you going to do? You're looking for more sympathy? Go to your mother. Well, I don't know if it depends on how bad it really was. Harsh, well, yeah, sometimes. But sometimes harshness is love. Because I have brothers and sisters in Christ who have loved me enough to be honest and harsh with me. I've learned to love others enough to be harsh with them. Sometimes the best remedy for pain and suffering is to tie a knot, to mix the metaphor, and to keep on trucking. I'm going to give another means of God's grace. Honest relinquishment. Just accepting what God gives you. The book of Job gives an amazing illustration of relinquishment. Job has just received the news that he's lost everything. His money's gone. He doesn't have a job. His children died. His cows are sick. It's just really bad. And if you have your Bible, turn to Job 1:20-21. Then Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head. And he fell to the ground, and he worshipped. And he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now later Job was inflicted with the painful boils all over his body. And then he had this wife. Listen, this is not the kind of lady you want to be married to. She just is awful. She says, and this is Job, the second chapter, in verses 9 through 10. She says, just curse God and die. I'll get another husband who's rich. Well, that last part's not in the text, but that's the implication. Do you still owe your integrity? This is the ninth verse. Curse God and die. But he said to her, and this is so profound, listen, you speak as one of the foolish women. Shall we indeed accept good from God, and shall we not accept adversity? And all of this, Job did not sin with his lips. Now, that's the beginning of Job. If you're familiar with the entire book, he didn't stay that pure. I mean, he did the right thing. He knew the right thing, but he was so very human. Job said, though he slay me, yet I will trust him, but he didn't. I mean, that's what Job is all about. Job is so human as he goes through this. I heard a comic say the other day that the Talmud, the collection of commentary on Jewish law, taught that where there is no solution, there is no problem. There isn't a solution, you don't have a problem, you've got a fact. About the only thing you can do with the fact is, it's a fact. Accept it. As one friend of mine says, if you can't fight it or flee from it, flow with it. Now, that's good advice. It's just not complete advice. The Bible isn't fatalistic. God does not want us to say about our pain and our suffering, our broken rope, well, that's life. My rope broke. I'll just have to accept it. God has ordained the events of our lives. And if he ordains our lives, he is loving. And if he is loving, and he is, then Romans 8:28 is true. That says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. The principle, and if you want a name for it, you can call it positive relinquishment. Whenever something comes into your life that you can't change or avoid, accept it as from the hand of your loving Father. You don't have to understand it. You don't have to explain it. It may not fit into your categories. You don't have to like it. I can't stand spinach or okra, but when my wife fixes it, I eat it because she loves me and she tells me it's good for me. I never have understood why God didn't make the things that are good for us taste good. The things that are bad for us taste bad. You know, some of you guys are going to ask about the problem of suffering and the Grass-Bellhausen documentary hypothesis when you get to heaven. I'm going to say, why didn't you make okra taste a little bit better, or liver? At any rate, a lot of people say that when they get to heaven, they've got these major questions. Well, now you know mine. When your rope breaks and you can't do anything about making it any better, accept it as having been ordained by God. When my friend Catherine Marshall went to, she's in heaven now, but she went to Washington with her pastor husband. I've told you this before, I think, to serve one of the most prominent churches in the country. She got sick and was bedridden. She did everything in her power to get well. She saw doctors. She took her medicine. She prayed for healing. She confessed all of her sins. She even wrote a third-grade teacher where she had cheated. You know what happened? She stayed sick. She then decided that she was sick because of sin. And so she just went through the whole thing. Confessed every sin she ever did. You know what happened? She stayed sick. After that, she got angry at God. She told him she really didn't like what was going on, didn't like what he was doing to her, demanded that he change the situation. You know what happened? She stayed sick. Finally, in desperation, Catherine fell back on her bed, and she prayed, Lord, you know I don't like myself the way I am. I'm the wife of a busy pastor, and he needs me. I've done everything I can to get well. I'm still sick, Lord. I belong to you. And if this is the way you want me to be for the rest of my life, that you're right. I relinquish my health to you, trusting that you know what you're doing. You know what happened? She got well. Now, I wouldn't say, nor does the Bible teach, that when you relinquish your broken rope, you won't have the problem anymore. However, sometimes that does happen. And if it doesn't, when you relinquish to him that which hurts, you find that positive relinquishment can give you a peace that you can't get any other place. So if you can't fight it, if you can't run from it, relinquish it to him, flow with it, and praise him in the circumstances and see what he does. Now, let me give you another means of grace. I'm just going to talk a little bit about it today. We'll talk more about it tomorrow. Honest victory. Learn to celebrate when it gets better. Not only was Paul honest when he messed up, but he was also honest when he did things right. After speaking about the intense struggle with sin, Paul wrote, "O wretched man that I am," this is Romans 7:24-25, "who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." On the other hand, I love Paul's call to the Philippians, "Join in following my example. Follow me as I follow Christ." That was Paul celebrating when things got better. You know, I know it's hard, but I know that this too shall pass, which is the best verse in the entire Bible. When it does, and you look back, don't forget to say, "God, you are so good and great." You think about that. Amen. Hey, listen, if you don't have our Winter Magazine, I'd love to send it to you. I wrote an article called "Our God Reigns and Another Crosses and Crowns." The magazine has a question and answer column. My itinerary's there. Good information on Lake Barkley Fellowship. I hope you can come this year. Love to have you. A lot of resources to get you and those you love home with freedom and joy and faithfulness to Christ as your crowning achievements. Absolutely free. I'll send it to you as long as supplies last. All you got to do is let me know. You can do that by calling 1-800-KEY-LIFE 24 hours a day, or you can write Key Life Post Office Box 5000 Maitland, Florida 32794, or Key Life Canada Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N38583, or you can email us at steve@keylife.org with your regular mailing address. When you write or call, be sure and give us the call letters of this great station. Hey, listen, could you help us financially? I realize that a lot of you can't, but a small gift would help in a big way, and a big gift would help in a big way, too. You can charge your gift on your MasterCard, Visa, Discover card, included in your envelope. And for any gift of any size, when you request it, I'll send you 6 important questions to look at as you get into this new year. It's called New Year's Examination on cassette, and I'll send it to you. Gotta go. Hey, Key Life is a listener-supported production of Key Life Network.